congregation for feel a little weird about it because originally Brother Dan first Sunday of the month because he said that I'd take that one. I did do it, but I had a prior obligation to my home congregation, Taylor's Cross Road, and so I hated to break that obligation, so I asked Danny if it was possible to speak the second Sunday here, if you had to rearrange your schedule a whole lot. But I do appreciate the invitation to speak here. Today, it's not going to be anything really new. I remember a little less than a year ago, sometime around All Harvester, we started the series, What Has Corrupted Today's Youth? That article series came from this lesson I'm about to give you, but you may have all read it, but this is the sermon it's based off of, and of course there's a little more in this than in the article series. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Today's youth. When we think about youth, we generally think about the future. Look at the youth in the audience today, and you think of the church, is it not? The world, and that's the future business leader, the leaders in general of America. But at the same time, when we look at youth today, it's not the same that it used to be. You can say that morals have been declining. So that's what we're going to look at today. When the corrupt youth, has something caused this? Is there one particular outlet? Has one thing caused youth to go wrong in recent history? And of course, we want to look at what the Bible says about youth. Now, we'll start with the Bible in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. By the way, you can see if there's anything that's missing from today's youth is remembering the creator in the days of their youth. Here's a verse that I'm pretty fond of. 2 Timothy 2:22, also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, if you notice, this says youthful lust. Not just lust, but youthful lust. This kind of lets us know that the lust of youth, they're going to be a little different from those of, say, someone who's middle-aged. Different things appeal to different age groups. Have different ones. They're a little harder to deal with, too. Talking about youth, I'm really kind of aiming at an age range of adolescence, especially 12 to 15 years old. Those are some of the toughest years any of you whose time or have taught those particular. Now, that's when children are pretty much at their worst. Look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. I want this verse here to kind of be our reoccurring theme. We want to keep this verse in mind as we look at all the possibilities of what has corrupted you, because these are the things that we are supposed to have. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Okay, so let's look at the current problems plaguing today's youth. They feel the need to rebel. If there's anything about that age range I talked about, 12 to 15, they have this thing about not really wanting to obey authority, to rebel. And then recently, society has glorified the underdog. And this isn't such a good thing. If you think of an underdog, you'd kind of look back to, remember that movie, I think it's from the 70s, Rocky. He's not supposed to win this fight he's got coming up. There's no way he can win this fight. He tries hard. He works hard. He does his best. This isn't the underdog that society looks forward to anymore. Underdog is maybe the man who grew up with no father. His mom had to work 3 or 4 jobs, so he had no one watching him. He ends up turning to stealing things, because how else is he going to afford stuff? He ends up dealing drugs. And maybe he becomes one of these high-profile professional athletes or a musical artist that we know of today. the underdog that has been glorified, those who had that struggle from their early life. Now, these aren't always good things. The pressure to attract the opposite sex. If you look at 7th, 8th, 9th graders, it seems like all they talk about, boys and girls, relationships, goofy stuff. And this isn't just when you look out in the world. I've seen people in the church around 17 or 18, and they just feel like they have to have a girlfriend or they have to have a boyfriend. And they're like constantly on the lookout for it. Age range, they're really looking for this a lot of the time. Society's backwards. No brainer. What's good is bad. If you look at what may have been a bad guy back in years ago, he's now the main character that people want to be here, or a television show. And even in the language. I know when, if there was a new song out or something, anybody around me, if I wanted to look, if they were talking about the song, instead of saying, yeah, I like the song, it's a good song, they'd say, oh, that song's bad. And when they'd say that, they meant, yeah, this is, language is backwards. This blatant disrespect for authority and elders. Of course, this will stem back to that need to rebel. Some of these problems come from identity development. In this age range, is when they start, they're trying to grow up, and in reality, they're trying to grow up too fast. They're trying to find out who they're going to be. Are they going to, like in school, say with the social groups, are they going to be popular? Are they going to be the geek? Are they going to be the nerdy one? They're all worried about this. They're trying to set a role for themselves. And this is just something called autonomy, where they try to get out on their own. Okay, so now let's look at what may be the causes to corrupt today's youth. What's caused the youth to really go wrong? Is it video games? Internet? Maybe it's television. Let's look at that one later. Music. And some facts I got on the internet, it's estimated that in the period between 7th grade and 12th grade, this is from about 12 to 18, adolescents listen to 10,500 hours of music. They aren't always just doing nothing but listening to music. You know, they studying, listening to the music. They could be driving down the road listening to music. But this is a lot of music. Music plays a big part in their lives. And we know a lot of today's music contains these the profane language. You know, if you listen to it on the radio, they have to cut out a lot of the words because it's not suitable. The language is just that bad. It's themselves. If you listen to what songs are about today, some songs are drugs. Just drugs themselves. There's that whole saying, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So bad, in 1985, the Parents Music Resource Center founded, and they're the group that put all these warning labels on CDs or music, whatever. It got so bad that they had to start censoring some of the stuff. Years ago, you could listen to music, not worry about hearing anything bad. Now they have to put out a warning, just like they would in movies. Now the music industry itself makes, in 2006, this past year, it made about $2 billion. That's in digital music sales. So we see that music plays a huge part in adolescent life. And music, like I said, is the stuff it talks about. If you really, some of this stuff, they treat women as objects, you know, male artists. Treat them as nothing but sex objects. In themselves, what kind of image do they give? It's gotten pretty horrible if you've ever actually heard one of these songs. And they glorify this stuff. They try to make it enticing, as if you want to be a man that would, to be a woman who would have a man treat her like that. Why do these teens listen to so much music? They're just got the time to. They're playing bored. There's nothing to do. You listen to music. Keep you occupied. Are they just songs you think of? Of course, it's entertainment. It's a way to relieve stress. The reason why teens listen to so much music is this beat. You know that's going to lead to dancing and such. If you've a group of teenagers dancing, you know, pretty much away from adult supervision, they look like a bunch of contortionists, really. I don't see why you'd call it dancing. but it paints an awful picture. And them is all they're listening for. They may not even realize what those words are saying. Now let's look at video games. Could video games be corrupting you? Average, children spend about 2 hours a day playing video games. Of course, it's not up there with music or say, television, but it takes a good part of their life. In 2003, the average American spent 75 hours playing video games. Boy, so this fits in that age range we're talking about. They're about 13 or 14. They lead all categories with playing 23 hours in a week. That's nearly a full day. They spend, the industry itself brings in more money than movies do, and total sales were over $10 billion. I believe that figure might be a little old. Some games contain strong violence, violent themes. They glorify that bad guy. Remember the underdog? If you've seen these games, I think Grand Theft Auto. You listen to the titles, Grand Theft Auto. Based on stealing cars. That's popular. Hitman. A game based on killing people for money. That's popular. And I know in this Grand Theft Auto game, you can actually, I think the character can get in the car, go around, pick up a prostitute. You play in the game, you rob, you kill. Sometimes they're not just innocent fun all the time. So could it be the video games that are corrupting today's youth? You have to consider that they too have ratings like music does and movies do. For the most part, you have to worry about is this all this violence they see in the video games, is this going to be a violent child? Careful. Games themselves won't cause a person to go wrong, but the wrong games can. The internet. I'm particularly fond of the internet. I know my mom's job is technology course. She spends all day with computers and the internet. My sister and I have grown up around computers. Where just about everybody is. In school, we dealt with the internet. So they spend about 16.7 hours a week on the internet. A lot of that time is involved in chatting. I've noticed people spend the most time on from this age range, 12 to 15. But by the time they get 16 and they can actually get a car, they kind of stop getting on so much. So this is really aiming at that 12 to 15 years. There's a world of information at your fingertips. All these facts you see I present today, I have gotten off the internet. I look them up. I get them. It's used to a lot of good things with the internet. It's about mission work. We can receive information about those who need prayer and just learn about meetings on the internet. We can do this through email. There's a lot of good things. There's a lot of anything goes on the internet. There's no one really restricting anything. There are over 372 million graphic web pages, and there's nothing stopping people from getting on them. This is available for children and adults alike. Like I said, in the ads, talking about those updates we can get. I can read about someone who needs prayer. I can read about mission work in Malawi. And at the same time, there's an advertisement right beside my email that says, find hot singles in your area tonight. And there's a scantily clad woman on this ad. On the internet, all these bad things can come to you. You don't always have to go looking for it. It can make its way to you. And this figure of 372 million websites, pornographic websites, that's an 1,800% increase from 1998. So, has internet for corrupting today's youth? It's a choice. Go to these bad websites, you can choose not to. And at the same time, you've got to watch out for when they come to you. Television. This is a big one. This is like your extra person in your household. In an average American home, the television is on 8 hours and 14 minutes a day. American adolescents spend 22 to 28 watching TV, and that activity is second only to sleeping. And when you come to priorities in your life, and you talk about, well, I need physical, you need sleep and healthy, you need to maybe exercise, you need to go to school, you got to study, things like that. Television comes before everything but sleeping. In fact, by the time these people reach the age of 70, these teens will have spent 7 to 10 years watching television. 10 years of your life wasted as you sit on a couch watching television. Scary is this figure. 45% of parents say if they have something important to do, they will use the television to occupy their child. That means to become a babysitter. So while that TV is babysitting, they have a remote and they can flip the channel. You got something important to do, can you see what that child is watching? Television is a huge influence because, remember, music was a big influence by it. The sound, the music, the beat, the rhythm, the words. TV picture to go with it. You know, it's got these sexual images, sexual situations, sexual references, violence. It used to be just in the movies or something where anything would go. But now on regular channels, you'd be surprised what you can find. These are just commercials, too. You can look at commercials. There's bad language in commercials. They use phone commercials. You have to be careful when you watch TV. It's not. Now, we'll look at a couple of channels specifically on TV that are really targeted towards these age ranges we're talking about. Now, of course, there's hundreds of bad channels. But these two I'm about to show you really stick out because they make their purpose to target these youths. All right, the first one is MTV. Second one is a bit of a surprise. Noggin, are called The Inn. I think during the daytime it's a legitimate educational show, whatnot. But I think at some point in the afternoon it changes. Now these both create the standard image for your teens. Kids will watch these channels, they'll watch the shows on these channels. I think that's someone my age, they're acting like this. I guess that's how I'm supposed to be. You remember, these teens are trying to create an identity for themselves, figure out what their role is in society. They're looking to these things to be their. Take a closer look at MTV. Description of the channel, it's actually made for ages 18 to 24. I don't know of too many people, 18 people I know of, that most watch this young teens from anywhere they watch MTV. Pretty dirty channel when it comes down to it. It often glorifies premarital sex. It does not to say it's wrong. Alcohol and drugs everywhere. If you were to watch any show, I think most of the shows on MTV reality shows or something, constantly there's some kind of alcohol around. The dancing we talked to that music would lead to, kind of dancing that does not look like dancing, it looks like something much worse. Yes, of course, they have that whole, they condone homosexuality, cursing, and disrespect for elders. Said that music, it gives you all the bad things you hear in music. You get the visuals to go along with that. So if a drug dealer and men raping women, stealing, running away from cops, this, I'm not kidding, this is how the songs are. And this will give you a video to go along with that. Show you this person. If you want this lifestyle. And now let's look at Noggin. The Inn. It's called the Thinking Network for kids ages 2 to 12. If you've seen one of the programs that they really promote late at night, I have no idea how this fits for anyone 2 to 12. I really don't think it's suitable for anyone, period. They have this whole thing where they portray the intelligent, hardworking good guy, one with morals, portray him as a bad guy. Now, I've watched before, and each time I have watched one of these shows before to see how it is. So last night, I watched it, and it has gotten worse and worse and worse. And this statement is as true as it. Last night, the one I saw, the whole show is just about centered on sex. It's awful. I remember this one, let's see, I think there was a cheerleading squad or something. One girl comes in, she's young, of course, she's got a daughter. And you know what? One of the cheerleaders doesn't like it. She says she made a mistake. And everybody says, no, she didn't, for having a daughter, you know, as a single mom. Now, the one who was against it, the one who would not condone it, this show has made her out to be a bad guy. They want you to side with premarital sex is okay, and if you have a baby, it's fine. Another side story in the show, this young couple, you can guess what they wanted to do. And one made the statement, said, no, we can't be together if we can't have, there's no way we can. The other one says, yes, we can. We don't have to have it. Guess what? Who do they portray as the bad guy? The one who says they don't have to have it. The bad guys in the show, the ones that we would consider bad people, are portrayed as the good guys. This show tries to make you accept homosexuality, cursing, just elders. It's as bad as it can be. I saw it last night and I thought there's no way, especially that show, I saw previews for other shows, there's no way this channel can be for kids. And of course they're all rebellious. And of course there is an argument at one point. How do they solve it? Oh, let's have a fight. That's great. And what's so bad with this is the channel's made to have viewers grow up with it. If you're when you're 12, it kind of aged with the show. I was a drum major of my band in high school, and it was a small school, so we had 7 through 12 all in one band, so I had to deal with this age group we're talking about as well as those older ones. And I can look at each one of them, and they're all at a different point in their lives, and they all develop kind of the same way. I had a couple of years ago, around, they kept talking about some of the shows on this channel. And a few years later, they're still talking about them. They grew up with the show. And say you start your kid watching the show when they're 2, watching the children channel. When they get older, they're going to start wanting to watch more adult stuff, so they start watching some of these shows. Then they start growing up with these shows. This show can dictate, perhaps, how a child develops. The way I understand it, PG stands for parental guidance. That means if the child is sitting there, there's a parent with them. The child doesn't get what's going on. The parent's got to explain it to them. In the show, and you see lesbians on there. Yeah, they have it. What's the kid do? He asks his mom or dad, and they're supposed to explain it. The show makes it out to be all right. So what's the parent to do? Say, oh, yeah, it's fine. There's no way for parental guidance. There's no one should watch it. And I'm just about horrified when I saw it. And so, let's look at a common theme we have seen through all this, fornication. Galatians 5:19-21. The flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Everything mentioned up here, you could see in one show on MTV or just about any other channel. All these things you can get in a compact half hour comfortably on your couch. If you look in Mark 7, verses 20-23, you can see some of the things. He said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. All those things that we see in a lot in music, television, on the internet, are wrong, plain evil. And probably the biggest theme overall in all these things, especially with this age group, is popular. The simple definition would be that's adultery. What does the Bible have to say about that? In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. But you know what? All the media today tries to make you accept it. It's okay. Try to make you tolerate it. How are we supposed to be? Look in Ephesians 5, 1 through 4. Be ye therefore followers of God, as dear children, as Christ hath also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God, or a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let not be once named among you, as become a saint. Neither filthiness, nor foolish, nor jesting, which are not convenient, thanks. Now, this is a little more some personal observations. Talk about rural areas. It's actually corrupt in a way. Now you think, oh, rural areas, they're closer, tighter-knit communities. People are usually much better there. How could it be easier to corrupt? When you think about bunching all these age groups together, where I went to high school, it's 2-12 and on the same campus. Those same K-12 people on the same bus. Now you know what a lot of the teenagers, what they like, what they talk about. A lot of that stuff we saw on music and television, they talk about that on the bus. Who hears that? Who absorbs it? They don't have to go looking for it on TV and music. They're going to get it on the bus, possibly. And so, in a way, it may be much easier for this corruption to go on. So, my message to you, careful of the company you keep. Essential as music and television, video games, the internet is, surround yourself with. They can lead you astray. Now, that always work one-way street. See one good person and say three people around the three, one good person is going to go bad. There's three bad people. In the same way, that one good person might be having influence on those three bad people. You got to be strong morals. You got to get them from the youth up. You got to stick these trying times. Be afraid to be different. You're bound to stick out. You stick to these strong morals. You are bound to stick out amongst your peers. You don't really have to do a whole lot different. I know one of I especially hate is cursing. And I, of course, never curse. And at school, I never really said anything like, hey, you need to stop cursing. But I know someone said something around me one time. I guess I kind of flinched. And they said, I think I've ever heard you cuss before. Because I don't. You don't think it's wrong, don't you? You're going to have an impact on the people around you. Live the life you're supposed to live. Yeah, you're going to be a little bit different. In Titus 2, 13 through 14, we've been let known that we are going to be a little different. Stick out. Look for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar zealous of good works. Not like everybody else. Not going with the flow. It's a good thing. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, very short, sweet statement. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And then again, we're going to look back at, kind of go back over what the Bible did say to you in Ephesians 6:1-2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And again, this verse, 2 Timothy 2:22, flee from lust, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of your pure heart. Key word, flee, like Joseph did. Remember Joseph when trying to get him to commit adultery with her. What did he do? Ephesians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, any virtue, if there be any praise, think on today's youth. Can we say that music has corrupted? Think about it. When I wrote that article, I actually got an email response. Someone said, the email said, well, you know, Ben, not all rap songs are bad. And I found that a little funny because nowhere did I have. While there may be, wrath is probably the worst, yes. This country a whole lot better. Drinking is a bit glorified. There's cursing in there too. And just about every form of music you're going to find is bad things. But the fact is, if you're always going around listening to rap music and someone sees you, what image is going to come to their mind? That drug dealer sitting on the corner, right? The one bad. You know what's popular with kids today? You got a choice. There's a dial on your radio. I'm not so sure that it's music. Music plays a big deal. It plays a part. But by itself, I don't think that's it. Can't really say it's video games. Yeah, there you got a choice. It's youth. They got to make the right choice. We saw that figure. Over 372 websites. The internet getting into the homes and corrupting the children. You've probably got even more of a choice with the internet to not to go for programs to block some bad sites by itself. Plays a part, but I can't say. What about television? Honestly, if I had to pick one of the four, we saw that activity second only to sleeping. Big part. 7 to 10 years, life gone. Not to be, there's an off button. We just don't always know when to use it. So honestly, out of these four, I'd have to say television is the one that has done it. The soul, media responsible. Nah, probably something bigger that deals with children. So I hope these comments have been a little useful and a little bit of an in. It's been a while since I have really dealt with this age group. Like I said, I was the drum major in all this adolescence. I'm a bit out of it now. 50 years ago, good bit different. Got to change. One that's have been useful. Church can assist you in any way.